of the kingdom of God in seed time and harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm tremendously excited about sharing in this particular session, and this entire topic is one of the most important things God has ever done in my life, in our ministry, and I'm in a tremendous growth spurt, as I said in my first hour, of seeing seed time and harvest work in my own heart and in my own life, in my family, and I believe ultimately in our church. I need to give a review because I have said a lot of new things, and it's hard for people to process when they hear something new. And then you have to keep on hearing to really draw the life of God out of even something new that you hear. So I'm going to do my best to review as quick as possible and then talk about, again, one of the most important things. What I'm going to say in this session is one of the most important things I can say to a member of the body of Christ. That's how important this is to me and valuable it is to me. So we've looked at seed time and harvest. And in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and hot, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. In original creation, God has put in the rhythms of creation seed time and harvest. And you can count on seed time and harvest. Just as sure as the sun went down today, we'll come up in the morning. Winter's coming. Summer's coming. There's going to be fluctuation in temperature from cold to hot, and seed time and harvest will remain. So in first creation, God has put in creation that rhythm of seed time and harvest. In the new creation, that same principle is how the kingdom of God works in our lives. There is nothing more important to a believer than understanding how original creation worked as a type and a shadow, as something natural you could look at to understand the kingdom of God, the promised land that we've entered into as the people of God, new creation, and how things work in the new creation, in the kingdom of God. And so seed time and harvest is a part of that. One of the things that many have just not understood, and it's hindered God's will in their lives, it's hindered them bearing much fruit, is the understanding of seed and what role the seed plays, the ground and what role the ground plays, and then, as I shared with you in our last session, Jesus, the gardener of our hearts now. Jesus, the everlasting Father, we saw, of the new creation, and how He oversees your heart. But you have to now, by faith, sow seeds into the ground of your heart so Jesus can draw out of the ground of your heart a harvest and anything you need that God ordained before the foundations of the world to put in your ground, in your ground. We've seen that everything in original creation came out of the ground. Everything came out of the ground. Man, we came out of the ground. Genesis 2, 7. The trees, the flowers, all the fruit-bearing trees came out of the ground in original creation. The animals came out of the ground in original creation. And we've seen that everything that God formed and took out of the ground had seed, so that seed, that fruit now, can remain. Adam had everything he needed in the garden that God formed and gave him seeds, and all of that fruit remains if you understand seed time and harvest. If he hadn't sowed an orange seed, the oranges and the fruit of oranges wouldn't have remained. But because God gives you seed for every need, you can sow to any need a seed and your fruit can remain. Your fruit can remain. And so a lot of people don't understand that everything Adam needed was in the ground. That the seed has life in it that activates the ground, and it's the ground that produces the harvest. I want that to sink in again. The acorn tree is not in the seed. The life and DNA of the acorn tree is in the seed, and the seed has to be sown in the ground. The tree is in the ground. The seed draws the tree out of the ground. And most people do not understand that. And that's why they're mixed up in new creation and how God works in their lives and how God has already put everything you need in your ground. What ground? The ground of your heart. But your heart needs a seed to draw it out. And so the ground is everything. And again, that piece of dirt out there, it's got orange trees in it. It's got pear trees in it. It's got oak trees in it. You can't see it with these eyes. But anything we need is in that ground. So all we need is a seed and sow it in that ground. And you can sow enough seeds. Did you know there's corn in that ground out there? There's corn in the ground. It's in the ground, but it needs a seed to activate the ground. And through the seed, the corn comes up, a blade, an ear, and the full corn in the ear. The seed simply activates the ground. The root goes down into the ground and draws the corn out of the ground. Amen. And if you can understand that, if you can see that, you can get a revelation and a relationship with God, with Jesus Himself, the gardener now of your heart, the gardener of the new creation, and you can find a seed for every need, learn how to sow it, and reap a harvest. Anything you want, God's given you a seed, and you can sow it, and the ground of your heart, with Jesus, the gardener of your heart, can produce it. And so, if we don't understand ground in original creation, I'm convinced we never really understand fully the ground of our heart in the new creation. And so that's why this is so important. In original creation, again, God took everything out of the ground, and everything He took out of the ground, He put seed in it so it can reproduce now after its own kind. And we've spent almost an entire hour how that you sow a seed in one form, but you reap it in another form. And many people are missing their harvest because they don't recognize their harvest. And a harvest that's there of seeds you sowed years ago, I'm talking about good seeds, but it's in a different form. And that's where Jesus, the gardener of the heart, comes in. A relationship with Jesus to recognize your harvest and to reap your harvest. And so that's why these things are so important in the natural, so we can understand it in the supernatural. So everything comes out of the ground. Everything has seed that came out of the ground. And again, it must be sown. In original creation, before sin was in the world, this is important. Young people, listen. Adam worked. Listen up, young people. God gave Adam a job before He gave him a wife. You ain't getting my daughter till you get a job. Hallelujah. And so Adam worked. But listen, the ground was not affected by sin. The ground was created. Be calm, Dwayne. I get so excited. The ground was created in righteousness and in holiness. And when Adam sowed a seed, it yielded. The ground produced of itself. Mark chapter 4, verse 27 says, the ground produces of itself. It produces of itself. And so when Adam would sow a seed, it would come up immediately. Because of sin in the world, and because of the curse that happened when Adam sinned, we sow a seed, and it may take a couple of months, a couple of weeks. But when Adam would sow a seed, he would reap a harvest nearly instantly. And what happened was, according to Genesis chapter 3, you can write that down for your notes, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 19, when Adam sinned, God said, man, there's consequences to this. I told you not to do this. There's consequences that happen to you. In the day that you eat, you'll surely die. There was a death that took place on the inside of Adam. And then there were consequences. He said, listen, that the ground, the earth, was cursed for Adam's sake. Now, what in the world does that mean? That the ground became cursed? And this is important. It's natural, I know. But this is huge. You got to understand this in order to cooperate with Jesus, the gardener of your heart now. But the ground was cursed for Adam's sake, and then he tells you what it means in those verses, that now you're still going to work, but you're going to work and you'll have to toil. The ground won't produce as quickly as it used to produce. The ground won't yield its fruit because sin affected the ground. He said, now there's thorns and thistles. There were no thorns and thistles before the fall of man. Before sin, the ground had no weeds. The ground had no thorns and thistles. Before sin, listen to me, there were no chiggers. Chiggers are of the devil. Chiggers will burn in the lake of fire, and the snapping of them being fried will be music to my ears. I despise chiggers. There was no such thing as all these things that war against crops. Before Adam sinned, nothing warred against the crop. And he said, your sin affected the ground. And now you're going to still work, but you're going to sweat. Before Adam sinned, he worked, but there was no toiling, there was no stress, there was no anxiety. Listen, and there was no sweat. Now, because the ground was affected by sin, you're going to have to work harder to cause it to yield a crop. Now, watch this. The Bible goes on to say in Genesis chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, you're familiar with Cain killing his brother. When Cain killed his brother, the first murder on the planet, and murder was wrong before the law, and murder was wrong under the law of Moses, and murder is still wrong after the law. Amen. I need you to nod your head and act spiritual. Murder was still wrong. God was merciful to Adam and didn't punish him. He didn't pour out wrath on him. He didn't curse him, but he said the ground now is cursed because of what you've done. And Romans, the New Testament, verse 8, testifies of this. Verses 13 through 23, how that the earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, where that curse of the fall is taken off of it. Not the curse of the law, the curse of the fall. Adam's sin affected the cosmos. Adam's sin affected the planet. It affected the dirt. Now Cain has killed his brother, the first murderer on the earth, and God loves him, and God is reaching out to him, and God is fellowshipping with him, and God's not forsaking him. But there's consequences to sin. And he says that your brother's blood cries out to me from the earth. Think about that. I'm trying to not get weird. I'm fixing to get into some heavier things, and you can think, okay, he's went off into weirdom. That's real. Abel's blood cried out from the earth. That blood, when it hit that blood of human life, that blood of a man of faith who made the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. When that blood, that value blood, human life. Life is where? It's in the blood, Genesis 9 says. So when that life hit the earth cried out to God. Aren't you glad for the second man, the last Adam, and when his blood touched the earth, it was the down payment of a new creation, a new earth that's coming, and that God's going to turn even the ground around. God's going to turn the ground around at his appearing and his kingdom. And so then it says that the earth cursed Cain. It didn't say God cursed Cain. It says the earth cursed Cain. Now, I remember as a teenager in church and that just being quoted in passing. And my imagination, I've told you how wild my imagination can really be, but I would be sitting there thinking, God's just walking along and the earth started cursing. And God says, hey, what's wrong with you, dirt? You ought not be cursing. What does it mean? This is why it's important that you read in context, that you read the Bible in context and verses before. And sometimes you got to read chapters before to get the full context of what's being said. But he says that the ground cursed Cain and said that the ground now will no longer yield its strength. You're going to plant corn and it's not going to come up. I sure hope you're thinking and how real this is. You ever thought about 2 Chronicles? We quote it a lot. I hope I can get close to quoting it right. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Most Christians are familiar with that passage. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, will call out to me, seek my face, turn from their sins, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their iniquities, and I will heal their... You mean sin in general in the world affects the dirt, the ground? Yeah. You can track droughts throughout the whole Old Testament, and they were the consequences of abominations. They were the consequences of sin. Of sin. Have you ever thought about when Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land, which was a type and a shadow of our promised land, the kingdom of God that we've all entered into? And just like their promised land wasn't heaven because it had enemies in it that had to be driven out, our promised land is not heaven. Our promised land is the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 11:11 says that the kingdom suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. We're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us, but there are enemies of God's kingdom and your life that have to be dealt with and driven out of your land. You ever thought about this? They came back and said, God was right. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. And listen, they brought one cluster of grapes. And it took two men and a pole to carry one cluster of grapes. I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to find a cluster of grapes that'll fit in the palm of your hands like that today. Can you imagine the wine that came out of those grapes compared to the Boone's farm that we have today with these grapes, these inferior grapes? Oh, let it go. You're missing the point. Think of how the earth yields fruit and how much fruit the earth would yield if there was no sin. And that sin affects the earth. Again, Romans chapter 8 says that all of creation, like labor pains. What are labor pains? It says all of creation is travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, in which we will get our redeemed bodies. That's the appearing of Jesus and his kingdom. And that curse will be lifted off. Listen, and the earth can bring forth fruit without any hindrance. Why does it say the earth? Like a woman in childbirth. The earth was created to bear and to bring forth and to produce fruit of itself. But sin has created travailing. Amen. I could go on all the rest of the service. I'm still in the introduction. I'm trying to show you that the ground in the natural is a type and a shadow of the ground that is real, that is called the human heart in the new creation. And that things affect your heart, and they affect your heart profoundly. And Jesus has been so good as the gardener of our heart to teach us how to guard our hearts, to teach us how to till our hearts, to teach us how to sow, how to water, how to harvest. And yet, it breaks my heart how many good, well-intending Christians have no idea what I'm talking about. And yet, the whole kingdom of God, Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29, the whole kingdom of God is seed time and harvest. Everything in your life starts with a seed in your heart and comes into your life as a harvest. Both good and bad. The good news is I have forsaken bad seeds. And I know how to dig up bad seeds quick. When I plant a bad word seed, I repent quick. When I say something about somebody I shouldn't say, I repent quick because I don't want that seed to take root and bear fruit. And how many Christians have no idea what I just said? No idea what I just said. Thought seeds that if you meditate on them, they'll take root. And they'll mess up your life. And so you gotta dig them up quick. It's called repentance. It's called, Jesus, thank you for being here with me, the gardener of my heart. And let's pull that seed up and let's put the right seed in there. And yet people just don't hear. And Jesus taught us this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians here, chapter 3, verse 2. Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Now think about that. You were not able to receive it. There are things that hinder people in receiving God's word. And I'm going to show you in detail, God's word is seed. And if you don't receive the seed, you can't get a harvest. He says you weren't able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. I had seed for you. And I wanted to sow that. For you are still carnal. This is a spirit-filled church. This is a church that came behind in no spiritual gift. Amen. And yet Paul said, you're carnal. I've said that to people, that people can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and be carnal, and people disagree with me and argue, and you haven't been going to church very long. Amen. And if you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, that doesn't mean you're spiritual. These people were carnal. Well, what made them carnal? Watch this. For where there is envy and strife and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Those three things are seeds. Strife is a seed. Remember, I've already taught you. I spent 2 hours on this. And those of you that weren't able to be with us, my apologies in the sense of I try to teach progressively, but I will make these CDs available as soon as I get back, and you need to go to the website and get them and hear hour one and two that set all this up. But actions are seeds. Strife is a seed that'll defile you. It just ruins, it messes with your ground. God still loves you, but it messes with your ground. Division, my goodness. I got to hurry. It just amazes me. The top three things he said are commonplace in probably 60% of everybody that calls himself a Christian. They live with this stuff, not realizing it's keeping you locked in to fruitlessness. He says that one of you says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Now, boy, that's been misunderstood. Hurry, Dwayne, but he's not saying you can't have a favorite speaker. He's not saying you can't have a person, a man or a woman that you really just seem to draw more from. He's saying you've got to understand you can't lock into one person for everything you think you need. And you can't dishonor other speakers in the name of honoring another speaker. I mean, I get it. If I was you, I would want to hear me. But you've got to hear other ministry gifts that God has placed among us that has a purpose. And so he clarifies it. He says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. We are instruments to get faith to you. And there may be one you connect with and you're able just to receive seemingly more from, but you got to connect to other ministry gifts because they have something from God to get to you. He says, as the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So two times he told you God's the one that makes stuff grow in your life. God's the one that makes stuff grow. Amen. But God can't make anything grow that's not planted and watered. And people are asking God for things when you need a seed. They're asking God to do things when all you need is a seed. God does not... This is the truth. It's going to shock some of you. God's not working in the earth independent of seed time and harvest. People think God's just picking and choosing who he's going to heal, and God's just picking and choosing who he's going to make wealthy, and God's just picking and choosing. He's just looking out across the congregation. Ew, I like your hairdo. Bam! Touched by God. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help people. You need somebody planting God's word in your life. Listen, and you need somebody watering God's word in your life. Now, we could do a whole series on planting and watering. We could spend hours. I'm trying to say things as fast as I can, but hopefully with clarity. But he said, I am sent by God to plant. What's he talking about? He's not talking about corn. Amen. He's not talking about wheat. He's not talking about pears. Evidently, there's something God has called ministry gifts to the body to plant. And evidently, whatever's planted, that's called a seed, has to be watered. Man, this is so important. I just help me, Jesus. Because we don't even realize how the seed gets watered. For some of you, I'm planting seed. I really am. I've sensed a tremendous planting this week. Amen. Thank you. I think that came from the heart. I'll accept it. I'm definitely planting. That seed has to be nurtured now. That seed has to be protected. That seed has to be watched over. And it's got to be watered. And once that seed takes root, the seed has to take root. And there are things it will war against. Every seed God has ever sown, every seed God through ministry gifts has ever planted comes under assault immediately. Because the devil knows if that seed gets in you, if that seed takes root, the ground will produce fruit of itself. And so he's after the seed. He's after the seed. I've got to stop this seed. And man, if I can get them into favoritism of different speakers, because they don't realize, even right now while I'm planting for some, I'm watering for others. There's a handful of you. There's more people, and I'm speaking prophetically here, speaking by the Spirit. There's more of you that have been here that I've been planting something. But there's a few of you, I am watering seeds that have been in there. And they've been dormant. They haven't died and activated the ground. Jesus is the one that's going to produce the harvest. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Genesis chapter 2 verse 9 says, God makes things to grow. God is the one that makes things to grow. But God can't make something grow that you need in your life that he's already put in your heart, independent of seed, time, and then harvest. And yet, I don't know what I'm not saying. There won't be anybody here do it tonight. You're too smart. But if I was doing this somewhere else and teaching this somewhere else, and I have, I guarantee you the minute I get done, somebody will come up and say something, and I'll just want to either slap them or slap me. And I say that lovingly. I'm talking about what is wrong with you. You don't appear retarded, and I'm not trying to put a retard down. And I know I'm not retarded. That I said it as plain as it can be said, something must be radically wrong with your ground. And most people sit in church, and their ground is so messed up, and they just go from church to church, thinking maybe it's the sowers that's the problem. Maybe it's the seed. I'm not getting the right seed. Amen. We have not seen the harvest that's on the horizon where a group of people get their ground right. And what's going to happen in the last days? Amos chapter 9 talks about those that are harvesting the crop are going to overtake those that are sowing. Things are going to happen so fast. Crops are going to come up so fast. Seeds are going to be sown and a harvest quick. Did you know, boy, this is now, there won't be five of you get this, but I'm going to say it for the future. God can call, as a sovereign God, the harvest on any seeds you've been sowing, good or bad, in a moment. A lot of what is temporal judgment in the earth is just God calling your note due. You've been sowing and sowing and sowing. And God knows you're not going to change what you're sowing, and He'll call your harvest forth, and it'll bring forth death in some people's lives. In the last days, people's harvest is going to come fast, both good and bad. And I knew it would get quiet, because there's so many mysteries that are going on, and people are trying to figure out, why did God do that? And why did God do that? And why did this happen for this person? And why didn't it happen for that person? And I keep waiting for someone in the room to stand up and say, seed time and harvest. I'm waiting for somebody to say, you can't keep sowing certain seeds. And if you're deceived, I love you, but God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If you're sowing bad seeds, you got to repent. Your ground doesn't know any better. See, the ground is non-discriminatory. The ground responds to whatever seed activates it. If I sow weeds out there in that dirt, weed seeds, the ground doesn't know any better. It'll bring forth an abundance of weeds. But if I sow corn, the ground doesn't know any better. It produces after its own kind. Whatever seed I sow activates the ground. And so he's saying that I'm sending minister after minister to plant. I'm sending minister after minister to water. And I'm asking you to trust Jesus, the gardener of your heart, to produce the harvest. Man, I didn't mean to come across negative. I wasn't talking about any of you. Why'd you get so quiet? You're sowing a good seed. You're here. I'm planting a lot of good seed. I'm planting enough good seed to last you a year. I'm serious. I'm planting enough good seed to last you a whole year. And all you need to do is water it. And you don't even realize in worship we're watering the seed. And we're leveraging one another's faith in worship. We're not going through the motions. I don't go through the motions. Why do I sit? And I've always sat on the front row my entire ministry when I grew up in churches where the preacher sat up here. Why do I do that? I do that because I don't want to sit up here and look at all of you. I don't want to sit up here and look at who's not here. I don't want to sit up here and look at why are you crossing your arms and you're not leveraging the anointing that's in this room. The saturation of this sanctified ground. This is sanctified ground. Churches that are healthy churches are sanctified ground that we can reap a harvest quick. And I sit on the front row and focus, and I don't see who's not here, and I don't see what you're doing or not doing. I leverage the anointing in worship, watering every seed that's been planted in my heart. And I'm thanking the gardener of my heart. Thank you, Jesus, I can count on you. Just as sure as the sun is coming up in the morning, my seeds are coming up, and you're going to produce a harvest. And it's going to be not just 30. I'm not even looking for 60. I'm going to get 100-fold return. I'm worshiping God. I'm praying and sowing seeds of prayer into my family. Most of the prayer I do for my family is on the front row during worship. Thank you, Lord, for changing Sue's heart. Thank you for fixing her. Thank you for changing her mind. Thank you that you gave me a good helpmeet. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. Thank you for that good seed. All right, let that go. Thank you, Father, for my children and the seeds that I have prayed and watered seed under the anointing of worshiping sweet Jesus on holy sanctified ground where the devil is bound. That every seed I've sown in my kids is going to come up. Not one seed will fall to the ground, because it fell in good ground, their hearts. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how dumb they're acting. They're smart. I wish you could hear. I wish you had ears to hear how much we're missing out on, because we don't understand ground. We don't understand planting. We don't understand watering. We don't understand how we get the harvest. We get upset. Hallelujah. Go to Mark 4. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 4. I apologize. That's the introduction. Everybody okay? Look at Mark. Let's go back to our main text or our main chapter, Mark chapter 4. This time now, I'm going to go backwards like I promised you. This chapter of which we laid our foundation in our first hour on seed time and harvest. The beginning of the chapter, Jesus tells a parable. And I'm just going to tell the parable. If I read it and then tell it, we lose time. So I've given you the reference. You're familiar with it, but let me just quickly tell it. He just tells a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable is hid from the masses who have rebellion in their heart and are hid for discovery for anyone who has a heart for God. That's in the Bible. It's in this chapter how parables were told to the masses that seeing they would not see and hearing they would not hear, lest seeing they should see or hearing they should hear and be converted. That some people are so rebellious to God, the mysteries of the kingdom are hid in the parables. But they're not hid from the people of God. They're hid for the people of God. So he tells this parable and the masses are going, what? 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 He says, there was this farmer that went out and sowed seed in his field. And some of the seed fell by the wayside. But the seed that fell by the wayside, the birds just swooped in. The birds came and ate up all the seed because it was the wayside. Then there were some that fell among stony ground. There were rocks in the ground. The earth was shallow. Their ground was shallow. I'm wanting to say something so bad. I've met some shallow ground over the years that I've pastored. You're just shallow ground. And the seed connected and it sprouted. It actually began to take root and it sprouted. But in the noonday sun, in the heat of the day, it was scorched and it withered away. And then there were some that were sown among, right in the middle. The farmer threw seeds and there were all these thorns and thistles. And the seeds fell in there, but the thorns kept the sun from getting to the seed and the seed from getting into the ground. Listen, and the thorns choked the seed. It choked it. And it bore no fruit. Then there were those that go to Victory Life. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I'm sowing good seed in the name of Jesus. They hear the word. I'm going to teach that tomorrow night. They receive it. I'm going to teach that tomorrow night. And they bear fruit, some 60, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. Then he starts in verse 13. We'll go there because the disciples, those that love Jesus, those that are seeking God, those that are not hard-hearted and rebellious to God, but people who are disciples, followers of Jesus, they came to him and said, what do you mean? What does this mean? And look at what Jesus said in verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? I say this, and I don't know what people are doing right now. I'm trying to look and see, are you reading a Mr. Magoo book? Are you preparing grocery shopping right now? Are you disappointed you're here because the Chiefs are playing? I don't know what's going on. But Jesus just said, and I'm going to just say it, this is the most important parable he ever told. And if you don't get this one, you won't get the rest of them. Yeah. Now you know why people are so confused going to church. Jesus told us why we're confused. If we don't get this parable, how are you going to know any parable? How are you going to understand what I'm doing over here if you don't understand how I do things? Amen. How are you going to understand what I'm trying to communicate and get to you over here in a parable when you don't know how I work? When you don't know how the kingdom works? When you don't know how simple this is, and you've complicated it, and you violate it so much. Praise the Lord. I'm really not trying. This is good stuff. This is positive. Sometimes I sound like I'm slapping you. Maybe I am. Because I'm either going to slap you or me. Because if I'm not saying this plain enough, God help me. You know what I'm trying to say? I care about you. I care about your family. I know how to fix any problem. Now, see, that's going to sound so arrogant, but I know how to fix any problem you have. All you need is a seed. And for every need, there is a seed. There is a seed. And so he goes, how are you going to know? So then he goes, the sower sows the word. So he just told you God's word is seed, and people sharing God's word are sowing. I'm planting right now. Yeah, but I dealt with this the first hour. Well, I've already heard this. Well, the devil has already stolen your seed. And you're going to wonder why things aren't working. And then you're going to get upset at God. Then you're going to get disillusioned. And then you're going to... Amen. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Even the hard ground, the ground by the wayside. The ground by the wayside is the ground around the field where you traveled around the field and the ground got hard. The ground got packed. And the seed would hit the ground. And if the birds weren't there, even it, a hard ground. Have you figured out the ground is your heart yet? Amen. The farmer are those sharing the word. The seed is the word of God. Your heart is the ground. And there's four different types of ground that we can evolve in and out of. A lot of people read this and go, well, I'm not that, I'm not that, I'm not that. Well, I must be that. You can be any one of these for a season. And you can get out of all of them forever. And you can get into the right ground the rest of your life. Man, this is good. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. He says the devil comes and gets the seed that was sown in their heart. Do you realize everyone within the sound of my voice that's at least looking at me, that seed got in there. But the devil is going to come immediately to steal it. Now, Mark didn't tell us how the devil steals it. He tells us how the devil works in the other types of ground, but he didn't tell us on this first ground, but Matthew did. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew's account of this same parable, he tells us how the devil gets it. And we're supposed to learn how the devil gets it, so he gets it no more. Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom... Now, that's interesting because we think of the word just in general as seed. But Matthew says the seed that needs to be sown is the word of the kingdom. The word of how God's kingdom works. The word of the kingdom that you're in and that's in you. The word of Jesus is Lord. The word of Jesus rules. The word of the kingdom is Jesus is Lord in Texas Talk, boss. Now look at this. This is incredible to me. And does not understand it. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away the word that was sown in their heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Right now, the devil, unfortunately, because of a lack of wisdom on our part, I've taught you about that in the first service, and knowledge and understanding of kingdom principles, of laws, many people will fall short, not because God wills for them to fall short, not because God ordained for them to fall short of bearing much fruit. They don't understand. They don't understand the power of understanding. This is why, and everybody who speaks has critics. It doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to have critics. It doesn't matter what you do. Any public speaker is going to be criticized for something. It's just the nature of a call. And one of the criticisms that doesn't affect me at all is me belaboring points. Me insisting on teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. Because I know if you don't understand God's word, you won't bear much fruit. And yet we got people that just think it's okay not to understand. That's the way it is. Who can know the things of God? We actually justify a lack of understanding, not realizing when you... Everybody say, I love. Brother Dwayne. When you don't understand what God is saying, when you don't understand His Word, like right now, if you don't understand it, what you need to understand is that's demonic. The devil is stealing the Word. God wants you to understand. God has called you to understand. God has equipped you to understand. God sent the Holy Ghost for us to understand, to lead and guide us into all truth. We can and must understand. I'm not being mean, but I hear preachers say, well, just act on the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you understand it. What is wrong with us? You're not operating on my brain if you don't have some understanding. Well, I'm a brain surgeon, and I'm just going to do it by faith. You ain't doing it on my brain. You better have some understanding. Amen. Understanding. I'm going to show you tomorrow that the beginning of fruitfulness is revelation. It's not all there is to it, but the beginning of change, the beginning of fruit, the beginning of ministry, the beginning of impacting a city is we understand God. Do you realize eternal life is knowing God? John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the true and the living God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do you realize that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says that it's the God of this world that's blinded the eyes, blinded the minds of them, lest they should hear, lest they should see and be converted. The way the devil drags people into the pit of hell is they don't understand God's love for them. They don't understand the cross. They don't understand Jesus died for your sin. They don't understand. The minute you understand, change begins. And if you can act in faith in that understanding, fruit's coming. I'm where I'm at today because of understanding. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. That's called understanding. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 says the way we pray for one another and the way we water seeds is pray for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance is in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Understanding. I guarantee you, if you will understand what I'm saying right now and look back, every time you understood what God was saying to you, change came. And every time you got bogged down, you got in a trap, a demonic trap, as I just don't understand this. I guess I can't understand this. Welcome to highway seed robbery. You just got mugged by demonic forces. Amen. So we're supposed to, though, stop and go, okay, I'm never coming to church again and not lean in. I'm never coming to church again with a good sower and someone sowing the Word of God. I'm never going to come with a critical ground. I'm never going to come with skepticism. Dominant. I'm coming to hear God. I'm coming to understand. I'm coming to change. I'm coming to get something from God. I will understand. That's not all, because there's five things he shares here, but that's number one. People dull of hearing never bear fruit. People with a hard heart never bear fruit. Hard ground, a hard heart. Have you ever met? Don't raise your hand. Don't look to the left or right. But if you, but have you ever met somebody? They just got a hard heart. They just can't hear. Jesus talked about it. I'll talk about this in our last session. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You got to hear. You got to have a. You got to train your ear. You got to train your ground to receive. To hear. So he deals with the first ground. Go back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it. Immediately what? They embrace it. Man, that's God. That's the Word of God. That's good seed. I like that. And they receive it with gladness. How do I know when I've really heard and am receiving God's Word? There's a joy that comes with it. There's a glad. Every time the light has come on, a smile followed. Every time. Looking back, I can't hardly believe how consistent that's been in my life. I didn't know it at the time, but you read the scriptures, it'll tell you things about you don't know. Not to mention things about God we don't know. And every time I really heard it, God really does will to heal me. Gladness. God wants me to get out of poverty. Are you serious? You know, well, I don't know. I think poverty and holiness are synonymous. So is stupidity. God doesn't will for you to be poor. I'm not putting you down if you're poor. I'm not saying it's sin if you're poor. I'm just saying God doesn't want us in poverty. And once you hear that, finally hear that, it's like there's a joy, a gladness that comes. But look at this. They have no root in themselves. They're shallow ground. They have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. Watch this. Afterward, when tribulation, affliction, one translation says affliction, hardship comes, and persecution. Let me read it like it's in the original language. It says, so they endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation and political correctness comes. Do you know how much seed is being dug out of the church and out of people's hearts? Because they fear what man thinks versus what God thinks. They're scared. They're scared. People are scared today to stand up and say what a marriage is. They're scared. They're scared they'll not only be persecuted, but prosecuted. And their business can be shut down if you believe the Bible. You think that's not demonic? You think the devil's not trying to get the seed out of your heart? It arises for what? The word's sake. Immediately they stumble, or the King James Bible says that they're offended. I have spent hours teaching on offense, and I demand that my inner circle get it. Nobody's going to be a part of my inner circle that doesn't understand offense is how Satan gets the word. And we get offended at afflictions. Why'd this happen to me? I go to church all the time. I've been listening. I leaned in. I was literally leaning in. And something bad happened tomorrow, or is going to happen tomorrow. I'm not prophesying. And you're offended. Not even realizing, listen, all the hardship, the heat of the sun in the battle, fiery trials, they're not personal. Persecutions against you are not personal. When your family says something about you, that's not personal. When somebody says something in a church and in a community about you, like I've had all kinds of things said about me in my county. I never took it personal. I'm not saying I wasn't tempted for a moment. I'm saying I can't take it personal. It's for the word's sake. It's how the devil gets the word. Every time you get offended, offense is not about offense. It's about the devil robbing you blind. It's about the devil taking the word out of your heart. Now you're becoming fruitless and don't even know it. Can't even figure out what's wrong. But now that offense turns into unforgiveness. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15 says that there is a root of bitterness that has come into many of God's people and defiled them. And I can testify that the word of God is true. I've seen more people not enter their promised land, not reap all God has for them from their promised land because of getting offended. And we think it's no big deal. I'm offended at what was said. I'm offended at what was done over there. I'm offended because how that service went. I'm offended because nobody called me. I'm sorry, I'm having 1,000 thoughts and I'm casting them down out of mercy. I'm a nice person. I know it doesn't sound like it sometimes up here. But I'm very kind and nice to people. But there's just sometimes you've got to be honest with people and slap them. We had some people quit church. I didn't think it was right. I didn't think it was God. And even if they don't come back, I want to know why they left and what we might have done so we don't keep repeating it. I'm not here to run people off. You didn't know that. I'm not here to run people off. So anyway, I'm saying, well, why'd you quit? Well, I got sick and nobody called. Do you know what the seed, time and harvest on that says? James chapter 5 says, if there's any sick among you, let the elders of the church call them. Very good. Do you know what James says? James says, hey, you get sick, here's a seed. There's a seed for every need. If you're not able to stand on your own, here's a seed. If you get sick, you call the elders of the church. Let them come, pray the prayer of faith, not doubt and unbelief, and oh is me, Pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. See, everybody wants the sick saved and raised up, but they don't want to sow a seed. Well, I don't want anybody to know I'm sick. I don't want the elders to know I'm sick. I want them to think I'm spiritual. Like anybody that gets sick is carnal. Now I want to slap you again. You just called me carnal. I've been sick before. And I wasn't carnal. I'm in a fallen world. I'm in a battle. Amen. Am I doing all right? Are you getting anything? Listen. No, you can't mean it. You can't mean it. I love you, but you can't lure me off into a sense of false security. Why, if you're hearing me, do you ever take offense? Why aren't you consistent in your rhythms of attendance? Like God said, to forsake not the assembling of yourself together. I'm not condemning anybody for some busyness. I'm not condemning anybody for exceptions. I'm saying the Bible tells us the seed is, forsake not the assembling of myself together as the manner of some is, as I see the day approaching, but I am to assemble together and provoke one another to love and good works. Not get provoked and quit loving the people God's joined me to. I'm married today not because Sue hadn't offended me. She has in 40 years almost offended me a couple of times. I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to tell you how many times I've offended her. Offended accidentally. I mean, what am I not saying? I'm trying to slap myself now. I can't help it that it's spilling off on you. But what am I not making clear? What am I not saying right out of the Word of God? That this is how Satan robs word out of your heart. This is why you see so many high-end leaders or spiritual people that are just absolutely crashing and burning. And they can't figure it out. What is wrong? Your ground. Look at your ground. Quit looking at other people's ground. Quit deferring blame. Look at your ground. And I don't know, I looked at my ground years ago and I made a decision that God has already put in my ground every tree I need, every human resource I need, every amount of money I need. Did you know all the money I need is already in my heart? It's in my ground. All the money I need for my personal life is in my ground. All the money I need for this ministry and we need for this ministry, it's in our ground. Maybe we just need to get a pure seed. Maybe we need to start over and push the restart button in some areas in our life and go, you know what? I'm praying for crop failure. I'm coming before God and I want Roundup all over my heart. Jesus, pour a ton of Roundup on my heart. Kill every weed. Kill every thistle. Kill every offense. Kill any unforgiveness. If there's a root... How come it says a root of bitterness? Is that offense in time takes root and it messes up my ground. You know, I've even had to ask God, how have I been through some of the hellish things I've been through? And I'm so happy. And how am I still standing when I see casualties of war all around me? Needless casualties of war. It's my ground. It's only my heart. Oh, this is so simple. Half of you aren't going to get it because it's not profound enough. All you need is a pure heart. Keep your heart pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. What does that mean? I'm going to see a picture of God. Well, there's God. I see God. No, I'm going to see God in everything. I'm going to see God because I'm going to get the corn I need. I'm going to see God, the Lord of the harvest. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38 says, Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. And we think he's only the Lord of the harvest of saving people. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest of healing in my life. He's the Lord of the harvest of wealth in my life. He's the Lord of kindness and the Lord of the harvest of joy. Man, I'm preaching myself. I can't preach, and I'm preaching. That's how good this is, buddy. When you see me preach, it's good. Because I just keep wanting to explain him, but then I get all excited proclaiming. He says, look, make sure that you endure hardship. Hardship's going to come, and it's trying to get the seed. Make sure when people persecute you, say things falsely against you for his name's sake, that you think for a minute and go, this ain't about me, it's about the seed. And when you're tempted to be offended, your first thought needs to be, Okay, devil, you're after the seed. I'm not going to give you the pleasure of digging up seed out of my ground. I forgive them for that crazy remark. I forgive them for that misstep. I forgive them for dumb to the second power. Y'all have never met anybody just plain dumb. Say something dumb to you. Do something dumb to you. Some of you aren't breathing. You have assumed room temperature. You are not alive if you didn't hear what I just said. Because your kids can do it to you. Your parents can do it to you. The preacher can do it to you. The worship leader that is tone deaf can do it to you. Amen. Am I the only one in a service going, my God, I'm having a hard time watering my seed. That I was in a meeting, thank God. It was so funny. I was struggling with the worship because it was they were all in a different key, and I'm not a musician. And I knew they were all in a different key, and I can't sing in the right key. I'm trying to sing in all four keys they were in. And so I'm struggling. And the lead worship person stopped. It was so cool. They just stopped and said, hold it. And I'm thinking, is this actually going to happen in my presence? Hold it. We're all on a different page. Let's all go to G. I don't know what G is there, but I got there, hallelujah, and I worshiped God, and they got there. Anything can offend you. I don't like his hair. Welcome to a demonic assault. A drive-by shooting just took place in your heart. And you didn't even know it. The devil robbed you blind. Wow. Amen. I'm sorry I'm belaboring this. And I'm out of time, which is nothing new. But why is this not understood? How could anybody leave here and not understand that problem you had with somebody in the church is not the problem? That problem is a deception. Satan is simply using our flesh and the weaknesses of our flesh and our unrenewed minds to steal word out of our heart. And we think it's about what Joe said or Bill did or so-and-so. And it's all about the seed. And Satan is so smart, he knows how to get it out of your heart. And I watch people right in front of me constantly. There's been times I've had enough relational capital. I've looked at people before and said, don't think what you're thinking. This is not about your feelings right now. This is about Satan stealing something out of your heart that you won't even recognize it for 20 years. 20 years later, you're going to be sitting there, what is wrong? And you're going to talk to yourself and say, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. And what you forgot is you don't know what the devil done. You don't even know how he did it. And you're still mad at grandma. Grandma's dead. I've had to tell people, you're mad at a dead person, and Satan is using a dead person to steal the word of God out of your heart. Forgive grandma. Well, I thought you said she was dead. Forgive her for your sake, slow one. Shallow dirt, dude. You're not forgiving grandma for grandma. Are you listening? I'm not forgiving what somebody just did to me for them. I'm forgiving them for my ground. Man, I'm preaching good. You realize if everybody got this, what could happen? If everybody got this, God created your ground to produce all the fruit you need. All you got to do is find a seed, the right seed, to activate the ground. And then he gives us the one among thorns. I'm going to have to quit. We'll pick it up here. But he said three things choke the word of God. And I stand amazed at how we don't daily. You know what I'm sharing now, you should go over every day. I'm not sharing something that was good and you think about it again 10 years from now. This is how you live every day. That's why this parable is the most important parable Jesus taught. You have to live this parable every day. And he said those thorns, they choke the word of God. The ground's not the problem. And the seed is not the problem. And Jesus, the gardener of our heart, is not the problem. The thorns are the problem. All you got to do is get rid of the thorns. The ground's good. The seed's perfect. and the gardener of your heart's perfect. And he said three things: the cares of this world. Buddy, I just nailed, I guarantee you, 90% of us. The deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Those three locusts eat up harvest in churches every week. And so that's where we'll pick it up, and it'll be good news. Did anybody get anything? Yeah. Hallelujah.